This is Paul Davey, Yield Point Specialist for Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan along with Sierra Doctor. We begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline brought to you by the North Dakota Mill, Pivot Bio, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Amity Technology. Well, with soybean harvest pretty much wrapped up across the region, Peterson Farms seed agronomist Rick Swenson says farmers were pleasantly surprised by the crop.
I think we expected a lot of 40s, and we ended up with quite a few more 50s than I thought we were going to have. Some of that rain maybe in August helped out, but then you get in other areas and people are having a record crop. They caught some timely rain really down the stretch, so I mean, it's kind of all over the board. It's really kind of rain dependent, but as a whole, I think we were a little bit higher than we were expecting, and some people are really, really happy then.
The corn crop looks good, but yields are going to be variable.
The same thing. It's kind of a function of how much rain we got, and a lot of areas, I think we wanted that 3 to 5 inches more rain. Again, there's people having record crops, but then there's a lot of people kind of in that 80 to 90% of normal, too. And actually, I was looking at the U.S. drought map today, and the drought weather goes from Washington State to Florida. Really only New York to Virginia is kind of where there's really no drought in any state. And so I think we're all feeling the effects right now.
Horace, North Dakota farmer Ryan Richard is just getting started with corn harvest.
Got the beans wrapped up here last week, and then we've just took our time getting into corn here. The moisture's been coming down, so, you know, things are looking good. We're getting rolling this morning. We're about 16.5 moisture, so we're going to go, and I think with the heat this weekend, should get down a little farther. We don't have to fire up the dryer, and everybody's in a good mood about that.
And Richard said yields are decent.
Yeah, I would say our soybeans were above average, or one of the better crops we've raised, and getting into the corn now so far looks like it's going to be really good, too. So we caught a couple rains at the right time, and things are good.
National Weather Service Aberdeen-based meteorologist Megan Mulford says there's a cold front that'll blow in tonight.
And then we start to kind of really start to look into Sunday into Monday. Now, again, it's still a few days out. Models will definitely change. We're watching kind of a stronger low-pressure system move across the central and upper parts of the Midwest. I think the main thing is going to be the winds, especially as we head into Sunday and Monday. We definitely could see up to wind advisory criteria or even warnings.
And there is a chance of rain for the weekend.
We do have chances to see, it looks like, some rain moving into the area kind of Saturday night into Sunday. And then as this low-pressure system moves east-northeast, so it kind of starts out in the central parts of the Midwest, and then it's going, the center of the low is going to move towards the northeast. Because of the colder temperatures behind this low, we're expecting, again, gusty winds through Monday. We do have maybe the possibility of seeing, could see maybe some snow showers. It's, again, too early for exactly how much will fall.
According to the latest drought monitor map, North Dakota is nearly entirely covered in some form of moderate to abnormally dry drought conditions. The southwest corner near Headinger and Adams counties have worsened from abnormally dry to moderate drought, with the southeast corner of the state progressing towards severe drought. Since last week, the entire state of South Dakota has progressed into some state of drought, with central and northwest corners moving into abnormally dry conditions. Over 12% of the state is categorized as being in extreme drought, covering mostly the southeast portion. Minnesota has remained mostly unchanged, with parts of the southeast corner progressing to moderately dry conditions.
Analytical firm S&P Global Commodity Insights is forecasting more corn, more soybeans, and more wheat acres next year. The firm is estimating 2023 corn acres to rise to 91.9 million acres. Soybean acres are expected to be 88.5 million acres, and the all wheat acres are expected to rise 1.6 million from this year to 47.3 million acres. The firm says the increase in soybean acres is expected to come from fewer cotton acres in the southern south as farmers switch away from planting cotton to soybeans. And that's Harvest Hotline, brought to you by Amity Technology, Pivot Bio, the North Dakota Mill, and Ag Country Farm Credit Services.
Large export inspections of soybeans indicate a good export pace out of the Pacific Northwest. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzalo says beans are still finding their way down the Mississippi, too.
Based upon the last barge movement activity that AMS USDA puts out on a weekly basis, we are getting more barges down of soybeans, probably at the expense of corn and wheat, but we're also getting, as you say, more out of the Pacific Northwest, and that's really helping us, given the fact that these low water levels and these wide basis issues at the river terminals are still really hurting us when it comes to the producer prices that they're selling.
Zuzalo says Northern Plains basis levels have remained stable in the face of widening basis at river terminals because of the PNW movement.
It's a blessing in disguise for your area to be able to get a better profit and per acre on what you're combining right now. But I'm seeing it as far north as about Cincinnati, Owensboro, Kentucky. We're still running about $1.25 under for corn in Owensboro, Kentucky on the Ohio River. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, that was about a plus 20. So about a $1.50 swing we've seen here in the last couple, 3 months in the upper Ohio River. So that's probably something to watch to see if it migrates north from essentially Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and then starts to move up into Iowa and the Dakotas then.
USDA's weekly grain transportation report for the week ending October 18th, the St. Louis barge spot rate fell to $72.58 per ton from its peak a week earlier at $105.85 a ton. Some grain shippers are delaying delivery until later in the year, lessening the demand for barges. The spot barge rate, though, does remain 130% more than last year, 260% above the three-year average. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. According to the USDA's Grain Transportation Report, U.S. Class 1 railroads originated 23,400 grain car loads during the week ending October 8th. That's 3% more than the previous week, but 3% less than last year. Secondary rail car bids and offers were at $2,217 above tariff. That's $217 more than the previous week and $2,088 more than a year ago. For the week ending October 15th, barge grain movement totaled 640,000 tons, 1% less than the previous week, 21% less than a year ago. 414 grain barges moved downriver, which is 13 fewer than the previous week.
The soybean market jumped higher this morning on reports of increased Chinese interest in soybeans. Ag Yield market analyst Ryland Texter says Chinese demand is much needed.
Especially with the U.S. dollar kind of at this high level, we need to see that demand kind of transcends what's going on with the outside macros. And it looks like just the big concerns of Chinese food shortages right now. We've seen the hog market really explode here. We've seen the beef market really explode just over the past couple weeks. So, you know, as far as food inflation goes, it doesn't look like that's going to get cured anytime soon with high inputs, high feed costs, that kind of thing going on.
And the corn market is facing some headwinds.
We got insurance pricing out, you know, through the rest of the month. So I think in general we're seeing harvest ramp up. We've seen some of the harvest pressure from the highs. It makes a lot of sense. I think one of the bigger concerns in just corn and beans is just when the river levels are going to at least come back up, or if the dredging is really going to make a big difference, you know, with getting some of these backlogs kind of cleaned up with the barges. So it seems like if demand was good, we could get the river market open, prices would be very different.
Russia is expected to reap its largest grain harvest ever in 2022. According to the Ministry of Agriculture's forecast, the grain harvest could amount to 150 million tons, including about 100 million tons of wheat. The previous record grain harvest was in 2017 at 135.4 million tons.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending October 13th showed net corn sales at 408,000 metric tons. That's 104% more than the previous week and 45% more than the four-week average. Soybean sales of 2.33 million metric tons are more than triple the previous week's sales, slightly less than triple the four-week average. Net wheat sales of 163,000 tons are 23% less than the previous week, 28% less than the four-week average.
Forages are a critical part of feeding programs to make it through North Dakota and the upper Midwest winters. North Dakota State University Extension livestock specialist Jana Block recommends farmers have a thorough hay inventory for the upcoming feeding season.
You need to, of course, have your bale count. You need to have an estimate of bale weight. And then, obviously, you need to sit down and get your livestock inventory, how many critters you're going to be feeding through the winter feeding period, and their weights, you know, kind of an average weight if you can. And then we could use a ballpark of 2.5% of body weight is what you'll need for forage. And then, you know, you take that times the number of days in your feeding period. And then you also want to include some for waste and some for storage losses. And so that'd give you kind of a really broad estimate of what you're going to need.
Block says livestock producers can have a more accurate estimate if they take into account forage quality.
You can refine those estimates a little bit based on forage quality, because as forage quality increases, digestibility increases, and cattle are able to eat a little bit more. And then, of course, you also have to think about how those requirements are going to change based on stage of production, cow size, and things like that. So the goal was just to get people thinking about, do they have enough hay to make it through the winter feeding period, or are they going to need to purchase some? And then once they know the amount of bales and what they've got for forage, then we can work on getting that ration fine-tuned and figuring out if they're going to need a supplement or things like that.
USDA's weekly export sales report for the week ending October 13th showed net 22 beef export sales at 17,000 metric tons. Beef shipments reported at 17,600 tons, top destinations, South Korea, Japan, China, Mexico, Canada. Net pork sales reported at 40,800 metric tons. Pork shipments reported at 28,400 tons. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. North Dakota FFA Foundation is hosting their first Blue and Gold Gala November 5th in Fargo. NDFFA Foundation Executive Director Beth Allen says they were looking for a shift to a more formal event.
The FFA board a few years ago, we've always done an auction at the state fair, and we just kind of noticed a trend that we weren't getting as many attendance and in the alumni and with the supporters. It had been happening for about 20 years, and we decided we wanted to kind of take a different look at that. Then COVID hit, and we kind of had to put it on hold, and last fall we just decided, you know what, we're going to try it. So we have an online auction that we do with the alumni in June, and this one will just be for the FFA Foundation. And all the proceeds will be going into our endowment. We've had that set up for some time now.
Allen says a meal, entertainment, and many FFA contests are planned for the night.
The event will be November 5th, and it will be at the Radisson Blue in Fargo. The evening will start with a social hour around 5:30, and we'll have some contests. So if you've been in FFA, Bridget Riedel is going to be our MC, and we're going to have some FFA mini FFA contests going on during that time. And so we'll have prizes at the end, and then we'll have our meal will start about 6:30, and we have steak and shrimp for supper, and then we'll move in. We have Tim the dairy farmer from Florida coming in for entertainment, and then we'll wrap it up with a live auction, and as the evening goes on, we have a silent auction going on as well.
Tickets for the Blue and Gold Gala are still available at ndffafoundation.com.
Checking market numbers before we leave you this noon hour. Minneapolis December wheat 9 cents higher at 962.5. Chicago 10.5 higher. Kansas City December 7.75 higher. December corn 6.75 cents higher at 685. March up 6.75. November soybeans 21.25 higher now, 1393.75. March is up 18 cents. November canola $9.20 a metric ton higher. December live cattle up 25 cents. November feeder cattle down 65 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.